vodka. Don't give me vodka.
No, don't give me vodka, but Arthur was just telling me the funniest story.
Am I on really the air?
You're on the air now.
Okay, so you've got to play that one day. We'll do a show on martinis.
Okay. Well, you were just...
Don't give me vodka.
So you were just telling me a very funny... Where did you see this guy flipping this out?
Oh, so I know while I was waiting for you to call me, I was scrolling down Facebook on my timeline. I have a lot of food stuff on my timeline, as you can imagine. Although, I have observed that in the last few months, it's more political than recipes, but... Let's not go there. So I don't even know who posted it. I hope I can find it again. I really want to watch what this guy does. I catch this guy flipping an omelet, a Spanish omelet, meaning with potato and onion, 57-egg omelet. He flips it after it's done on one side. The whole thing flies up into the air, and when it comes down back into this big cast iron skillet, it flattens itself out. I don't know how that works. The fact that this guy's flipping it, and it's this enormous thing in a heavy skillet, is amazing. And he must be in his late 60s, I would say. He's probably been doing this for 50 years, and he's got all the muscle strength he needs to do that. But it's just an amazing feat in any case. So moving on, actually, maybe not so moving on, because earlier this morning I mentioned to Jill that she mentioned to me at that same moment I mentioned to her, maybe we should talk about eggs today. Eggs, for some reason, by the way, sidebar, egg prices have come down in the last week or two. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Up there?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's about. It's usually not until... March. It's only the end of January. You know, the hens lay more eggs when there's more daylight. However, most hens are living in conditions that don't have daylight. They have artificial light. So that's how we have eggs all year, by the way. I don't know how that works. I have to look into that. I also meant to look into this week the increase in price in broccoli rabe. But before I knew it, broccoli rabe had come back to a normal price. So there was a spike there for a week or two where I, in my cheapo store, a bunch of Andy Boy broccoli rabe was $3.99. But the friend that I was shopping with commented that where she lives in Great Neck, Long Island, it's $5.99. And so I came back to Park Slope, and sure enough, it was $4.99 here. So I don't know. It's usually cheaper than that. So, but at $3.99, you know, broccoli rabe is maybe the healthiest vegetable you can eat. I hear all these people out there saying, "Well, what about kale? You know, kale is good for you." I prefer broccoli rabe myself. I haven't really done a compare and contrast nutritionally, but I can tell you that in southern Italy, where people live to be very old ages, they eat an enormous amount of broccoli rabe. And when I eat broccoli rabe, I think I get an actual, like, jolt of vivacity from eating broccoli rabe.
Broccoli rabe is better than kale, in my view.
Taste-wise?
Oh, yeah.
There's no comparison. Did you just do a look-up, Jill?
No, I just... Oh. I'm giving you... I know you love my personal opinion.
So. Oh, well, that's not an opinion. That's a fact. We have to. This is not. We can opinionize. We can say we like it better. We need more of it than we would eat kale because we like it better.
All right. So you want to know what's.
But then
what's
there
healthy?
Are people. You know, I have two people in my life. I won't mention who, but there are two people in my life who cannot eat broccoli rabe because of its bitterness, and you can get rid of a lot of the bitterness, not all, but. It does have a bitter edge, and there are people called super tasters, which is not a good thing, in my opinion. I learned about super tasters when I took a course in the physiology of taste, and we were all given in class a little piece of paper saturated with I don't remember what, and we were told to chew on this little piece of paper and get the the addition out to our mouth, and some people ran out of the room to go to the restroom to do what they needed to do, and the rest of us thought it was delicious. So that was bitter. We were testing different flavors. That was bitter. And there were some people who just said, oh, I don't like this. There's some people who said, oh, this is nauseating. And there were some people who really got so nauseated they had to go to the bathroom. So bitter, you know, is a matter of taste, a matter of your taste buds.
How are we going to do it? I found this great thing. It's called skipthepie.org. And it's got comparisons, although it's kale raw versus broccoli raw cooked, and that makes no sense to me. But
what is kale raw?
Kale, it's raw kale.
Raw kale
versus broccoli raw cooked.
Cooked. Okay. So let me. I'm just curious. The profile of broccoli raw cooked.
Profile of.
I haven't done it.
Okay. So.
And I think it depends on how you cook it.
Of course.
But go ahead.
All right, so this is nutrition facts, whatever. 33 calories per serving. Calories,
nothing.
Calories from fat, 5, against kale.
Really?
Do you want versus? How do
no,
you
want? I don't want. I just want to hear broccoli raw.
Okay. Calories,
since I'm not eating much kale.
Calories 33. Calories 33, calories from fat, 5. Total fat, 1 gram. Saturated fat, 0. Trans fat, 0. Cholesterol, 0. Sodium, 56 milligrams. Total carbohydrate, 3 grams. Dietary fiber, 3 grams. Sugars, 1 gram. Protein, 4 grams. Vitamin A, 91.
And this is for how much?
Whatever they're serving. I just, that's...
Is a cup?
Let's call...
Which is
serving
not very
size, 100, 3.5 ounces.
100 grams?
Yep.
That's 3.5 ounces. Cooked.
Yep.
That's actually not very much. So I could eat a half a bunch myself. But as I see by that profile, I can. It's allowable. But what I want to know is B vitamin. I mean, because really,
A,
I mean, all of that is sort of, let me just say, if you're dieting, if you're not dieting, if you're diabetic, if you're anything, really, except there are low roughage diets. This would, if you're on a low roughage diet, broccoli raw is your nemesis. You do not want to eat broccoli raw. However, if you crave fiber, it's a great vegetable to eat. I can attest to that.
Are you ready?
That's a fact.
Vitamin.
But I want to hear the vitamins and minerals.
All right, vitamin A, 91%.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin C,
90. Let me explain what 91% of what the government says you need, based on a 2,000 calorie a day diet. Go ahead.
Well, look what I found. Vitamin content. Vitamin A, 4,533 IUs. Vitamin B6, 0.22 milligrams. Vitamin C, 37 milligrams. Vitamin E, 2.53. Vitamin K, 256.
All right, so if you're on a blood thinner, this is not good for you.
Right, but kale is way worse.
Yeah, well, I have a friend who doesn't even eat the outer leaves of romaine lettuce.
Right.
She only eats iceberg because she is on a blood thinner.
All right.
So there are so many complications with food these days because of medications. For instance, if you're on a statin, you're not supposed to eat grapefruit. However, if you take your statin in the morning, you can have grapefruit by dinner time, or in the afternoon. You just don't want to have grapefruit juice at breakfast and take your statin. So there, you know, be careful about these combinations. But the only thing I could see bad about broccoli raw is not good for people on blood thinners, and what was the other thing? And not for people on a low roughage diet, because 3 grams of carbohydrate and 3 grams of fiber means it's really. No carbohydrates, because the carbohydrates are fiber, and the fiber is going to go right through you. So, good food. I mean, you can eat a lot of it. Anyway, I actually add a lot of calories to it, because when I cook it, I bring my hugest pot of water to the boil, salt it. I don't do heavy salt like I do for pasta, but I would say for, I don't know how many quarts it is, 7 quarts, I would say I use maybe 2 teaspoons of salt, and bring it to a rolling boil, I'll help tell you how to prep the broccoli rabe in a sec. You put the broccoli rabe in the water. You watch the pot. Press it down. Press the broccoli rabe down into the water and watch the pot. As soon as it starts bubbling again, count 5 minutes. It will really boil for a few of those 5 minutes. And drain the broccoli rabe immediately. And you can just let it sit there and cool if you want, because you're going to heat it up with oil and garlic and hot pepper when you're ready to eat it. Or even, you could even do that now. You could, for a big bunch of broccoli rabe. By the way, it's absolutely gorgeous in the market right now. So one big bunch of broccoli rabe, I would say 2 to 3 tablespoons of olive oil in the bottom of a big skillet. Very, very slowly cook some sliced garlic for just, yeah, and I do slice it. I don't mind looking at it. It's a gentle taste. It's not the hot garlic taste. You let it sit in the oil for a few minutes over low heat. Add your broccoli rabe. Toss it around. Oh, the hot pepper could go in the oil too, as much as you like, or none. You could do none. You know, Jill, you have to taste hot pepper when it's not making it burning hot. You see, the red pepper pod with the heat, in the ones without the heat, as you all know, have flavor.
They do, but it's not.
It's not the same as just. It's not just heat. It's flavor. So if you use it in a very modest way, it adds flavor without adding burning heat.
Hey, you know,
I have
those
to say that.
Okay.
Because you're always groaning like a child when I mention hot pepper.
That is true. You know those people that you speak to that, you know, that are so sensitive they can't eat broccoli rabe, for example? I am very sensitive to picking those stupid flecks. Sorry. Pepper flecks. Very, very
Why
sensitive.
Why are they stupid flecks? They're beautiful little red flecks.
Let's talk about your teeth, Arthur.
Pardon me?
Let's talk about your teeth.
I don't know what that means, but let's move on to eggs.
Okay.
Where we started. Because I just, you know, before you arrived, I was telling Marshall about the omelet I just saw.
I heard.
Being made
and
on
I've got,
Facebook.
By the way, Arthur, when people go to your podcast now, I put that video in that. So when people go to your podcast,
okay,
they'll be able to see it.
Okay. Did you watch it?
Yeah, he found it while we were.
Isn't it amazing what this guy's doing?
It's absolutely amazing. I'm going to play it for Jill now so she can see it. He goes down. He goes down to the floor and lifts this thing up.
Well, I was mentioning that.
Oh my God!
Eggs. For some reason, eggs are the national brand that I do buy because it's so frequently on sale and they're perfectly nice eggs. I forget what it's called. It's the one that advertises that their nutrition is better, and it comes in a white carton, and whatever it is. Those are like, you know, eggs that are better, and they were $1.99 a dozen. And the organic eggs were $3.99 a dozen, where it could be $5.99 a dozen.
Yeah.
In fact, from the farm that I buy them from, they are $6 a dozen. This is for large eggs. So I don't know. The hens are laying like crazy, I guess.
Well,
days are getting longer.
Our guys that do our show, Agriculture from Turkana Farm, just talked about exactly what you're talking about eggs and certain breeds meant to lay more and less and stuff like that, and the price of eggs varies all the time for farmers.
Well, yes. But as I said, it does vary all the time, but it usually doesn't go down until March.
Well, maybe
and, you know, that's, by the way, let me add here, Easter and Passover, both very egg-centric.
Ah, very good. Egg holidays.
I just made that up.
That was good.
They're both egg-centric, and the reason they're egg-centric is that there are a lot of eggs around during that time of the year.
And you got to use them. Now, just quickly before you do eggs, because I'm so taken by that, can we just go back to...
Yeah, you like eggs.
You don't even want to go there. No, I like egg whites, but this is a whole other thing. If you take broccoli rabe and sausage and little ear, the orecchiette.
Orecchiette.
It is, and if you like, obviously, red pepper flakes, but by all means, go for it. If you are me, then no. That is just a really yummy combination because of the bitter quote, of the broccoli rabe, the yummy of the sausage.
Yeah. Well, that's why the hot pepper, too, balances out the bitter.
Okay.
By the way, if you cook it the way I just told you to, it won't be very bitter. And I do see that bitterness is seasonal. This time of the year, right now, it's not very bitter. Broccoli rabe is a cold weather vegetable. Maybe if you buy it in the summer, which I rarely do because there's so many other things to eat that you can only get in the summer. So I don't have space for broccoli rabe. But as soon as the fall comes, I'm into my broccoli rabe. There's a mystery quotient to these things, too. We can read all the nutrition profiles we want, but empirically, we know that it's extremely healthy. So why did I get distracted by here? Oh, you a sausage. So this is funny. I just taught a friend how I do broccoli rabe. She in the kitchen with me. And she said, aren't you adding sausage? And I said, no, I'm just making a vegetable.
Right.
I do love sausage with broccoli rabe, but I'd rather have my sausage on the side.
Uh-huh. No, I agree.
As a sausage, and then the broccoli rabe as my vegetable. And if you want to have orecchiette with broccoli rabe, which, by the way, we made last week, orecchiette is not my favorite pasta. I have to add that. But there are so many other pastas you can use with broccoli rabe. It doesn't matter. You know, any tubular pastas like ziti or rigatoni is wonderful.
Baby penne.
And by the way, if you cook it the way I just had you cook it, it's going to be very soft. I peel the large stems. You pick off all the smaller stems, and then you expose the fat stems, and I use my vegetable peeler to peel them. It really is worth doing because... speaking of fiber, those big stems can be very fibrous. I mean, if you want more, even more fiber, or if you don't mind a lot of chewing, although it won't be that chewy when you cook it twice, boiling it first and then sautéing it. In any case, you can cut it up if you like. I have, as a vegetable, I don't like. If I'm mixing it with pasta, I'll chop it up. So I made sausage last night, actually. I actually bought the sausage thinking I was going to eat it with broccoli rabe, but in fact we ate up a whole bunch of broccoli rabe at one meal. I may buy another bunch today because what I've been wanting to do is two recipes. One, I've been wanting to make a broccoli rabe frittata, back to eggs.
Right.
And if I make a broccoli rabe frittata, meaning I just scramble up some eggs. Depends. I can't give amounts because this depends on what you have. But at least two per person, let's put it that way. And I would use pecorino cheese, not Parmigiano. It's a bitter thing. It could use the salty, edgy pecorino flavor. And pepper, lots of black pepper this time. Unless you made the broccoli rabe spicy, then you won't need any pepper. But if you didn't put any in, black pepper is appropriate here. And make a frittata. The other thing is, and I have to look this up, believe it or not, but there's a recipe in my book, The Southern Italian Table, that I haven't made in a while, in a long time, actually. And it is a lentil soup. I'm checking it out now. It's a lentil soup. I don't have the book handy. I have to look it up on my computer. With sausage and broccoli rabe. And here it is.
In the soup?
In the soup. It's a
wow.
Yes, in the soup.
I might eat that.
Yeah, it's a soup. So what's funny is that Luca Bellelli, Cecilia's grandson, who still, I think, considers, even though he is a boy who's constantly watching his weight, maybe to too much of a degree, actually. He used to be a chubby little boy, and we really trusted his taste. And when I the first day I made the soup, and it was at his house, he says, "Squisita, Arturo, squisita." It was exquisite. So I'm dying to make it. I haven't made it, like I say, in some years. And here's the recipe. This is for a whole pound of lentils, which amounts to 2 1/4 cups. And you do want to rinse lentils under cold running water in a strainer. It's a safe thing to do.
Do you use the big ones or the little ones, or doesn't it matter?
You know, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
In this case, if the lentils fall apart somewhat, it's okay. You know, it's sort of like whatever lentils you have. What I have, as I always say, I buy Goya Pardina, P-A-R-D-I-N-A, Pardina lentils, Goya brand. They're from Spain, and they're tiny, and they don't fall apart easily. But I also have a pound of American lentils here, and I may make this today with the American lentils. So you put this in a 4 or 5 quart pot, the lentils, with 2 quarts of water, and bring it to a boil. Normal lentil cooking. You're going to cook the lentils apart from everything else, and just adjust the heat so they simmer for about 20 minutes or until they're almost tender. If you're using American larger lentils, be careful here. You don't want them to turn to mush before you even add the rest of the ingredients. While the lentils are cooking, you're going to make this little side flavoring, condimento in Italian, in a small skillet. Take 1/2 pound of sausage, remove from the casing. As I think I said last week, because I'm always doing this, I like to push it out, but a lot of people just slip the casing and flip it out. So you take your 1/2 pound of sausage, some oil, I would say a couple tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, 2 large cloves of garlic, finely chopped, and put them in the skillet. Break up the sausage with the side of your wooden spoon until it's all, you know, into little pieces, and it's also lost its red color. And set that aside. And when the lentils are almost cooked, as I said, it takes about 20 minutes, could be a little less, a little more, stir in the cooked sausage that you just cooked, some tomato paste. You know, I'm big on tomato paste. In this case, 3 tablespoons of tomato paste. And I have a variety of tomato pastes in the house right now. So I think next week I'm going to tell you what I discovered. I bought all these different tomato pastes. I'm into it. And I'll tell you what, you know, cans, jars, tubes. Comes in a lot of ways these days. So you add your tomato paste, of course, salt. You're going to need at least 1 teaspoon of salt because lentils take a lot of salt. Whatever pepper you choose, Jill.
Thank you.
And that's it. Now, you're going to simmer that another 10 minutes. You will have already cooked your broccoli rabe the way I explained before. And you need 1 bunch of broccoli rabe for this recipe. And either before or after you cook the broccoli rabe, chop it into small pieces. It's your choice, before or after. And after 10 minutes of simmering the lentils with the sausage and the tomato paste, etc., add your cooked broccoli rabe. And I would say you're going to want to thin this out with broccoli rabe cooking water. So in this case, actually in quite a few cases, I lift the broccoli rabe out of the water with tongs and put it right into the soup. You don't mind, it can't mind if there's, you're bringing water along with the broccoli rabe because you're going to add water or you're going to add liquid already. Now, the broccoli rabe cooking water is bitter. Not as bitter as the broccoli rabe, but it has an edge. And if you don't want to, you're going to just add water. But I would add at least two, me, Arthur, would add at least 2 cups of the broccoli rabe cooking water. And then that's sort of it. You know, you can bring it back to the simmer. You can let it sit for a while. It will thicken as it stands. In that case, you want to add some more water. And you serve this with your best quality olive oil or hot pepper oil. And actually, I keep hot pepper oil handy these days because I have so many people in my life, like Jill, who won't eat the hot pepper. But those of us who like the hot pepper and actually feel it's sort of necessary, we put hot pepper oil.
Yeah, that's
good. That's easy. Over. This is a great soup.
Fat folks go high.
It was a very good dinner.
Marshall,
no bacon.
Oh, why? Marshall is saying we have to go.
Yeah, I know. I see on the clock.
Well, there's that.
Everybody have a great week.
You too. Loved Bob. Thank you.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton. Flawless catering and event planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, JARestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.